This is the Engines of Our Ingenuity, made possible by the friends of KUHF Houston.
Today, first to fly, first to die. The University of Houston's College of Engineering presents this series about the machines that make our civilization run and the people whose ingenuity created them. Balloon mania swept France after Jean-François Desrosiers piloted the Montgolfier brothers' first balloon in 1783. The next balloon maker, Alexandre Charles, thought he was copying the Montgolfiers when he filled his early experimental balloons with hydrogen. He didn't realize they'd simply used hot air. Now ballooning would become a contest between hydrogen and hot air. Whichever gas bore them aloft, balloons now claimed the sky. After flying the Montgolfier's balloon, Rosier meant to show the world what balloons could do. His first goal was flying the English Channel from England to France, but he was immediately scooped by another French aeronaut, Charles Blanchard. Rosier had to move fast to top that, so he announced he would fly the channel from France to England, facing far less favorable winds. He'd have to be able to stay aloft much longer. Now consider the problem of altitude control. A hydrogen balloon must release sand to rise or release hydrogen to go down. Once the hydrogen is spent, the balloon can only sink. A hot air balloon has to be larger since hot air is not as light as hydrogen. We control a hot air balloon's altitude by alternately heating the air in the gas bag or letting it cool. To travel great distances, that took increasingly heavy loads of fuel. Rosier had a solution. He built a double balloon. A hydrogen-filled bag wasn't quite large enough to lift the balloon off the ground. A second hot air bag would get the balloon into the air. He'd control the altitude by heating the smaller air bag, and that would take a lot less fuel. Rosier's plan was really clever, but he knew it was also tricky. As the day approached, Rosier became more and more fearful. He made out his will. He insisted that his co-pilot, the balloon's owner, do so as well. At the last minute, their young patron, the Marquis de Maisonfort, offered the owner 200 gold louis to let him fly in his place. Rosier was appalled. He barely managed to talk the Marquis out of going. Then, at 7:12 that morning, a cannon blast announced the two flyers' ascent as they rose into the gray sky. 33 minutes later, observers saw a tongue of flame 4 miles away. 20 seconds later, as the balloon's remnants fluttered back toward Earth, a muffled whoomp reached their ears. The balloon had been blown more west than north and never quite made it to the channel. The watching crowd reached it to find Rosier already dead on the shoreline rocks and the owner breathing his last. The fire had most likely ignited the hydrogen bag. When hydrogen burned off, very little buoyancy remained in the hot air bag. So that's how Rosier, first aeronaut to fly, also became first to die. The sport of ballooning now had to sober up and settle into the methodical engineering needed to make it feasible. It had taken a mere 2 years for ballooning to reach its childhood's end. I'm John Leinhardt at the University of Houston, where we're interested in the way inventive minds work.